Accession number 4296, real number 3.
Mrs. Wyshowski, tape 3. Could you tell me anything else about the tribunals?
Well, I already mentioned that the judges weren't given any guidelines and that therefore the tribunal results varied very much. One very striking example was the Judge Sandbach in Wembley, where a cousin of mine and lived with his family. He was working for the GC, an eminent scientist, and had to travel approximately once a week to the Witten Works in Birmingham. When he appeared before the tribunal, he was asked whether he had to travel and what he had told the judge this fact. So the judge said, all right, I'll give you C, so you don't have to bother the police every time you travel. Then his wife was asked whether she had to travel. And she said, no, of course not. I have two small children. I stay at home. All right, I'll give you B. With the result that she was interned and he was not interned. Another case in Brixton, where friends of mine lived, he was working for the News Chronicle at the time, as a journalist. When he was asked whether he had to travel, again, he said, no, he doesn't have to travel. All right, I'll give you B. Then his wife said, well, but I have to travel. She used to take the place of her friend Lily Krause, a pianist. When she went on concert tours, she used to take over her children. So she said, I have to travel fairly frequently. So the judge said, well, I can't give you another category than your husband. Notice the difference with the Wembley judge. So they were both given B. The judge said, well, if you find there are any difficulties, come to me and I will alter it. Well, results, they were both interned. So you can see the complete difference in interpretation of the situation. I think these are the two most striking examples, except for my own case, of course, where I was given C with restrictions. I was not allowed to use firearms, which I didn't want to use anyway, and I have heard, whether it's true or not, that the judge went to the Home Office and said he had meant me to be interned, or there were several cases like that. This judge only made this stipulation, and the Home Office said, well, sorry, once they are interned, they are interned.
So having been given your Category 3, did you expect to be interned?
Well, I did not expect to be interned.
So, therefore, when you were arrested, it came as a great shock, did it?
It was not a terrible shock, because they came the evening before to tell me that I was going to be interned the next morning. I think this was a result of being not quite B, but I was interned because I wasn't quite C, and
Who came to give you this warning?
Police. The local police came and told me that they would collect me the next morning, which gave me a chance of packing my suitcase and sorting out various things.
Did you have any idea where you would be going?
No idea. I expected that we would be taken to some barracks. And I must say, from that point of view, it was a very pleasant surprise when we were taken to the Isle of Man. But we weren't immediately taken there, of course. First of all, I was collected the next morning by Rolls-Royce, and I had a fairly heavy suitcase. I had taken my eider down, and they said, oh, this is a rather heavy suitcase. I said, well, they'll have to wait if I have to carry it. I don't think they'll leave me behind for that reason. And anyway, they carried my suitcase for me to the police station, where from the Rolls-Royce I was punctually delivered into a cell. Since it was fairly early in the morning, the cell was reasonably clean. I went to sleep. And a little bit later, when they had presumably collected all the inhabitants of the districts, we were put into Black Maria's. And all around me, good Jewish housewives were in tears because it was such a disgrace to be picked up by the police. And I saw one face which was grinning from ear to ear, and I thought, oh, well, I'll keep to that one. And that was very lucky because we became very, very great friends. And with the Black Maria, we were taken to, I don't know where, somewhere in the East End, to a very large police station where we were given some lunch. And then we were taken to Fulham, to a place which had originally been equipped, I think, to take Dutch refugees. But this is a surmise, I'm not quite sure about that. Anyway, we spent the night there on camp beds, where my eiderdown came in very handy. And the next day we were put on train. We were accompanied by members of the Women's Voluntary Service. Very, very nice, exceedingly nice ladies. And went to Liverpool, where we were deposited in a sports center. That was pretty awful because it was very crowded. There was no way of stretching out. The seats were all single seats with armrests on either side, which were not removable. They were metal seats, and they went all around, so there was nowhere a straight surface on which one could have laid down.
Was this a sports stadium?
Yes.
A stadium?
I think it was a sports
Open
stadium.
Open air, was it? Or
no, I think it was covered, but I wouldn't swear to that, because it was a beautiful day, so it wouldn't have mattered very much. But we had quite a number of women with small children, babies in arms, and the toilets were absolutely disgustingly filthy and quite horrible. We were sitting there doing nothing. I don't know what we were waiting for, or rather now I know we were waiting for the transport by boat to the Isle of Man. But of course we had no idea where we are going, where we were going to be taken. And particularly the women and some older women who got very, very tired by then, became very restive, and there was a near mutiny. So in the end, towards evening, they took us off and put us on board ship, where at least there were some cabins for the women with small children and babies. And for the rest, we were given, what you call them,
life belts.
Which we used as pillows, and we just lay down on deck, and it wasn't too bad. It was a warm night, luckily, and I must say I slept quite well, although not very long.
Had you been given food and drink?
Oh, yes, yes, but I can't remember the quality, but we certainly were given some food.
Can you remember if any of your documents were taken from you or any other goods confiscated during this time?
No, I don't think anything was taken from us, not even jewelry. I seem to remember that a list was made of jewelry which I had taken. I mean, what I had in my digs, of course, I took with me. And I think they made a list of that, but I wouldn't swear to that.
And what was the attitude of the officials you came into contact with during this time?
They were very kind. These women of the Women's Voluntary Service were exceedingly kind and helpful and sympathetic. But I heard from some of my fellow internees that the police had not been very nice when they were interned. Of course, most of them were interned at no notice whatsoever. Some of the women were worrying whether they had switched off the gas. They didn't know where their husbands were, who had also, I think the husbands had been interned a couple of days before. And some of them were treated not very kindly by the police. But I dare say in London, the police on the whole were very decent.
And how about the British public? Did you see any on your way to Liverpool when you were in the Black Mariah on the train?
In Liverpool on the bus, I was told by some of my fellow internees that the crowds in the street were threatening. I can't say that I saw it myself, but I'm rather short-sighted, perhaps.
So you set off for the Isle of Man the next morning?
The next morning we set off for the Isle of Man, and I believe that it was quite a dangerous journey, risky, that the Irish Sea was fairly heavily mined. But that we only learned later. I mean, I don't know.
How long were you on the water?
I think it must be 3 or 4 hours, but there again I wouldn't swear to it.
And by that time, did you know where you were going?
Well, we knew, yes, that we were going to the Isle of Man, but we still, I mean, I still envisaged barracks or something. I hadn't realized that they would put us up in hotels and boarding houses.
Well, could you describe your first impressions of the Isle of Man? Where did you actually land?
We landed in Douglas and were immediately put on the train, this charming little toy railway with a highly polished steam dome. That's all, and it was a very short journey then to Port Erin, where we were unloaded and formed a long queue and were marched through the village and detailed to the various hotels and boarding houses. We were not the first contingent to arrive. There had been one the day before, and at the station there was already a crowd forming, and there I saw a great friend of mine, my best friend, waving to me, and so that was very nice. I knew that she was there, and I wouldn't be lonely. Besides, I had piled up with that grin.
Did you have a medical when you arrived?
No, not to my knowledge. No, not to my recollection.
Could you describe Russian camp for me? What did it consist of?
Well, Port Erin is a very, very pretty holiday resort with a promenade, a very large bay, secured by breakwater with a little lighthouse at the end of it, and a very pretty view. I mean, it's a beautiful bay and a beautiful beach with golden sand, and all along the promenade are the big hotels, and it's a small village. Practically every house takes summer guests, and we were just billeted on the householders, on the hotels and boarding houses.
And was it sort of filled to capacity, do you think?
It was. I think it was filled to capacity, and I think the householders who were to begin with very skeptical and very disappointed that they couldn't take summer guests eventually realized that they were quite well off. They were paid £1 a week per refugee, And of course, they didn't have to supply the services which they have to supply to summer guests. Unfortunately, the attitudes of the householders varied largely. Some were treated their inmates very decently, some were very unkind and very hostile. Some really treated them like summer guests in some hotels. And, I think eventually they realized that they were quite well off because they had these refugees the whole year round, whilst normally, of course, they have only a summer season for where they have paying guests.
So, going back to the Russian camp itself, did it just consist of Port Erin, or was Port
No, Port Erin and Port St. Mary.
I see.
The two. And during the first summer, a large portion of the surrounding landscape, there are golf courses and absolutely beautiful, and altogether it was a marvelous summer. And there is not only the one big bay, there are also some small bays which were not so much frequented by that. It's amazing how the crowd congregated on the main bay.
Who was in charge of the camp?
When we arrived, there was a man in charge whose name I have long since forgotten, but very shortly afterwards, Dame Joanna Cruikshank took over. She had been a matron during the First World War, and she was placed in charge of the camp. And she was, she didn't know the difference between a Nazi and a German. She didn't realize that most of the internees were Jewish, and therefore not very likely to be sympathetic to the Nazis, but she didn't really realize it. Her redeeming feature was her love for children. Whenever it was a question of something to be done for the children, she would play ball.
Regarding your hotel, what was it called?
I was detailed into the Golflinks Hotel.
And could you describe this to us and the sort of accommodation you had there?
It was a very large hotel, and one mustn't use present-day yardsticks. I mean, it didn't have running hot and cold water in the rooms. It didn't have running water in the rooms at all. And obviously not. Nowadays you would expect a hotel on the promenade to have private, at least showers, but that wasn't invented in those days. All the same, my friend and I were delighted when we were led to a room with obviously a double bed, with a view onto the heath and the surrounding countryside, and lovely view. We were absolutely delighted, and particularly we asked the lady who led us to our room whether we could have a second sheet so that we needn't sleep under the same blanket, and we divided the blankets, and I had my eiderdown. So that was, and it was lovely. And there were two large lounges and, of course, a very big dining room. And that was it. The proprietor was a Mr. Latimer, and his two daughters, a Miss Latimer and a Mrs. Crichton, whose husband, I think, was in the Navy. They ran the hotel. Of course, with the refugees, they didn't need any staff. The refugees, or the internees rather, it wasn't all refugees, took over all cleaning and things like this, cooking even. There was also living there as a private guest, a friend of the proprietor's, who was working at the Marine Biological Station. And her sister, who normally lived in Liverpool, came as an evacuee from Liverpool, which was not yet endangered, but later on, of course. And she helped in the running of the house, and she was exceedingly kind and efficient, very efficient. And she had a little daughter, Mary Lou, whom we all adored. She was about 3 years old and was a terribly spoiled brat, but darling all the same. And that was more or less a setup.
How many internees would there have been in the hotel?
In the golf links, we were about 120.
And was bed sharing pretty general? Did most people?
Well, practically all the rooms had double beds. There were a few where there were twin beds, but they were, of course, very much in demand. And there were a few single rooms. And one of my friends, she became a friend because we discovered that she came from the same hometown as I did, and we had gone to school, to the same school. And she managed to get a single room. How, I don't know. And,
If one was unhappy in the hotel, was there any possibility of changing to another hotel or a boarding house?
I dare say in the end it was possible, not at the beginning. But in the end, the authorities were a bit more lenient and a bit more complacent, and it would probably have been possible. But I don't know of any case, except for this girl, Ilse Barleben, who managed to get a single room after having been allocated to begin with to a double room. This was rather a matter of luck, this allocation of rooms. And if people didn't have a companion, they were just allocated with somebody else. And I dare say there were some unfortunate occurrences. I'll say that a very fastidious old lady was put together with a slut of a girl. There wasn't much you could do about it at the time. I dare say it sorted itself out later on.
Did you have any children in your hotel?
Yes, we had a few children, but not many. No babies, luckily. Not luckily from our point of view, but of the babies, because I don't think this hotel would have been very suitable for babies. But we had a few children.
How long were you on the island altogether?
I think I was about 18 months there.
That would have been from May?
From May 40 to November 41.
So yes. Really, you experienced all the four seasons.
Oh, yes. Yes.
During the winter months, was the heating adequate?
Well, the rooms were obviously not heated, and each lounge had a fire around which everybody congregated. Also, there was a facility of making hot water bottles. I don't quite know how they did it, whether they did it in the tea urn or whether they had wash boilers, but a few girls took turns in providing the hot water bottles. I mean, everybody had their own hot water bottle, and they were, not everybody went and made it, but these girls took charge of the hot water bottles.
And the lighting, was that also adequate?
Not very, not really. No, not really.
How about the furnishings in the hotel? Had the landlord left everything there?
Well, they had taken out all the carpets, and I dare say they probably had taken out some of their really good upholstered furniture, but it was just about adequate. There were two lounges, and that meant two fires. But yes, one was pretty, pretty cold, except that, I mean, with so many people, the rooms did get eventually warmed up simply by the body heat of the inhabitants.
Did you suffer at all from lack of privacy?
Yes, I dare say we did. You were never quite alone, except during the summer, of course, where you could go into the mountainous surrounds, and there you had as much privacy as you would want. I mean, really, that was delightful.
How about the situation regarding hygiene? Could you take a bath, more or less, when you wanted
to? Well, there were, I think, on every landing there was a bathroom, and there was a strict rota for the bath.
And could you obtain all the toilet requisites you needed?
If you had money, you could buy anything. In fact, they restricted us to a certain amount, because it was very obvious that some people had a lot of money and some people had very, very little. And I think the ones that had nothing were given something, but I'm not sure about that. Anyway, we were allowed only a certain amount per week. I think 10 bob or something like that. I wouldn't be quite certain. And I think I would like to mention at this point that we dished out the toilet paper. We were given so and so many rolls, and we counted the rolls on the leaves on each toilet roll, and divided it up so by 120, and every week the toilet paper was distributed. I know that our supervisor, Miss Blackledge, strongly disapproved of newspaper being used as toilet paper, but I dare say we probably had to do that. I'm not really sure, but I do remember very vividly the distribution of the toilet paper.
How about things like toothpaste and soap? Could you get enough?
Well, we had to buy them, and this was again, we could buy freely in the Manx shops. If you had the money. Some were very wealthy, and some of the not so wealthy very soon started to earn money. For instance, in our hotel, I remembered we had a couple of sisters, one of whom was a seamstress, and the hotel proprietors made them work for her, and I dare say the one or two that were used in the kitchen as cooks. I mean, the actual cooking supervision was done by this Liverpool lady, this friend of the proprietors, but she had any amount of help, and I dare say they paid some for it.